Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Of course, the other story that we've been following very closely, especially here in South Africa, is the Trump tariff war. It certainly seemed to me that he had cleared the table of all these tariffs and is now demanding and requiring each country to negotiate from scratch. And I think that's, in my mind, a very smart way of doing it. But the question is, how is it impacting on the United States and on their trade partners? Well, Irina Zuckerman is a human rights and a national security lawyer based in the United States. Irina, a very good morning. Thank you for joining us once again. How are you?
Good, and thank you for bringing me back on.
It is always great to chat to you. So what is the latest with the tariffs? Where does it stand right now?
So right now we're in the 90-day pause from the original Liberation Day policy. But what the pause actually means is that tariffs were actually in some total raised across the board to 10%, even in instances where there were previously no tariffs at all, except with China, which has escalated substantially to 145% on U.S. part and 125% plus other measures on China's part against the United States. Furthermore, from the very beginning, the policy meant to exempt technology such as smartphones and computer manufacturing from these tariffs. There was some confusion about that because at one point the State Department provided a clarification and it was misinterpreted to mean that these products were initially included in the policy and only later exempted. But eventually Trump himself added to the confusion by claiming that they were not exempted, when what he actually meant was that they were supposed to be exempt from the very beginning, completely. Eventually, that was resolved. So those technologies are exempt. Nevertheless, Apple is moving its production facilities to India and is planning to circumvent any potential other tariffs that could affect it after the 90-day pause in that way.
The problem is it takes a long time to get factories up and running, to change where production is, to get the systems right. Is that impacting on the American markets?
Oh, yes. I mean, first of all, the markets lost trillions in dollars within just a few days. And despite the fact that the markets rallied after the pauses and other developments, they never fully recovered from that. And that also means they affected pension funds. Mm-hmm. They affected particular industries. Trump announced bailout packages for farmers, for instance, just as one example. There's been a general loss of confidence in U.S. markets. The dollar has been losing value. And that coupled with other policies such as migration policies and a downfall in tourism from Canada and Europe has been making substantial impact on industrialized, particularly urban areas, also agricultural areas. So Trump has found some political backing in the so-called Rust Belt, some of the battleground states with high level of blue-collar workers, but the so-called Sun Belt, more agriculturally minded states. Have been critical of these policies, and the fact of the matter is there hasn't been a major shift to any actual manufacturing. Some things are being announced, but by countries and industries that would have likely migrated even without tariffs for other reasons. And most of that is related to high tech and not to the type of manufacturing that Trump has been pushing.
The fact that he put the 90-day pause on it, was this, do you think, always part of it, a part of the plan, or was this a reaction, or him listening to his advisors based on the reaction of the market?
Definitely, it was not part of the original plan because the original plan was based on a very strange mixture of advice by Peter Navarro, who has allegedly now been sidelined. He used to be an advisor during Trump's first term. Then he did not rejoin the government but has been informally advising on the tariff policy. And he apparently fabricated some of his expert sources in the books that attracted the administration's attention, and apparently an AI motivated a plan that was more about attracting attention from the domestic public than about formulating the plan correctly, and was essentially based on a misinterpretation of a tariff formula, which resulted in vast disparities in how the plan was supposed to be applied, resulting in absurdities like Israel being slapped with the 17% despite lifting its tariffs altogether.
So what can we expect now? Can we expect each country to negotiate and see things moving back to almost not what it was, but that type of approach? Or can we expect to see this heavy-handed approach continuing?
Trump announced that about 75 countries have reached out to negotiate. The problem is no one knows whether that's actually accurate because only a few countries have self-disclosed their efforts to negotiate, and some of them have offered zero for zero policies to lift their tariffs in exchange for US lifting theirs, and Trump has so far not accepted any offer from any country,
Right,
including
and
the European Union, which also essentially proposed a free trade policy, and Trump demanded in exchange additional $350 billion in
right.
gas purchases as reparations for alleged past grievances. Now, the European Union likely would have been buying that energy packages anyway because of the growing volume of energy trade between the US and the EU. But now that Trump worded it as a basically an ultimatum, it's not clear that they are
Which
going
way
to
it's
go
going to
for it.
go. We do need to leave it there, Irina Zuckerman. Thank you as always. Human rights, national security lawyer based in the United States. It's 7 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.